Thank you for listening to the Oasis Church podcast. To find out more about Oasis, including service times and directions, please visit our website at oasisla.org.
Love works. I believe that. I think most of us have been through circumstances and situations where we wonder, does it really work? Marriage works. Marriage can flourish, be amazing. And yet we've noticed, we've looked around and seen marriages struggle. And we've seen people close to us go through marriage difficulties. And so there's a fear and there's a feeling that many people have and that we share that maybe marriage doesn't work. Maybe love works, but marriage doesn't. Maybe we should just be very careful and not trust anybody. And I really believe that love, from the scriptural definition, heaven's version of love, is not only works, but it's powerful. It's the most powerful force in the universe. And your marriage can flourish. You can be led by God in the decision you make to get married. Listen, who you marry is the most important decision that you would ever make in your life. So please be careful. Please look to God for his guidance in your life. Your marriage is the most important relationship you'll ever have. And maybe you've been married before and that didn't work or it fell apart. Whoever you're married to now, this marriage, where you are now, you can have a marriage that flourishes, that is full of passion and intimacy, and is not limited by past failures. That's what this is all about. It's worth the work. I'll tell you, you know, Holly and I tell stories and personal experiences, and, you know, we tell it in a way where it's funny, it helps you relax, help you enjoy it. A lot of the humor is true. A lot of the humor is just a way to spin it so we won't start crying. Because it's been tough sometimes. And, you know, Holly and I have a high-maintenance marriage. And that means that we have to pay attention to what we say and what we don't say and what we do and what we don't do. And it's not because we wrote a book and we go, oh, yeah, we got this down. You know, when my book, How to Turn Your Marriage Around in 10 Days, came out, we celebrated one night and went out to dinner. And then the next day had the biggest disagreement we had in like 3 years. So I had to go look over my own notes and try to figure out how to turn it back around. And so this is crucial what we're talking about. It's worth the work. It's worth the investment. So those of you who are married here and you're here listening to this, you could probably teach me a few lessons, but good for you that you're here to invest in your relationship. Single people, they're here listening. It's great. It's so important. Listen, if you're dating, you're considering somebody for the future, please don't ignore the red flags that you see, that you witness in someone, in a relationship, because it is crucial. It's very important. Don't play with your soul. You know, married people are already married. They got to start with what they got and work on it. You have that chance to start in a place of strength. And, you know, if you get that feeling, you know, you're seeing something, I like to call it the S-A-R-T. We get the S-A-R-T alert. That means something ain't right there. Go ahead and pay attention to it. I got that little S-R-T vibe here with this. You know, because in dating relationship, you can go too fast and you can go too long. I mean, Lord, if the guy's dating you for 5 years and he hadn't figured out yet if he wants to marry you or not, maybe you got to move on to somebody who can make a decision. You know, so it could be too short or too long. You know, either way, it's something that you got to watch for. And listen, pay attention to fruit. That's what I mean by if you're getting a red flag. Because here's what fruit sounds very spiritual, and you can, you know, you can define it however you want to. But here's how I mean it. This is how I mean judging by the fruit in someone's life. It means what has been happening will probably keep happening. That's what fruit is. What has been happening will probably keep happening. You have to drag her to church, but she loves you, so she's going to come. What has been happening will keep happening. When you wonder why he keeps talking to somebody but doesn't really tell you about it and kind of acts defensive, and what has been happening will continue to happen. Somebody who's been addicted to drugs but has been working for 6 months, 9 months, a year, getting free, staying focused, being in something like Celebrate Recovery, having ground behind them. What's been happening will probably keep happening. It's fruit that you can trust. And so pay attention to the fruit. In this session here today, what I'm going to talk to you about is relationships and faith. And this is so crucial, and it's important that I explain what I'm talking about, because when we think about dating, relationships, and marriage, most people in our world don't really think about faith and God's involvement. Only if things go bad and we can cry out to him and he can rescue us or intervene, you know, then we think about it. But because I said to you, and I believe that the Bible teaches this, that your marriage is the most important relationship you'll ever have, that it's important that you have God's leading, God's presence in your relationship. Holly does a great illustration where she has three ropes, and she talks about the two ropes representing the man and the woman and how they're wound together. And you don't lose yourself in the relationship. You can see both ropes and they strengthen each other and become a strong entity. But the scripture says a threefold cord or a threefold rope is not easily broken. That third is God. The presence of God wrapped in there, the three of you, your spouse, and God having a relationship that involves faith, a real, genuine faith. It's a great visual, and it's so important. But listen, there is a balance, a healthy, appropriate, divine balance between faith and action, faith and effort. And they are both 100% importance. You know, it's 100% important to have active faith. It's 100% important to do the work that you need to do. And look at what it says in the book of James chapter 2, verse 17. I'm reading from the New Living Translation, and it says this. So you see, faith by itself isn't enough unless it produces good deeds. It is dead and useless unless it produces the good deeds. Now, someone may argue some people have faith, others have good deeds. But I say, James, by leading of the Holy Spirit, how can you show me your faith if you don't have good deeds? I will show you my faith by my good deeds. So he's saying that authentic faith produces good actions. Right? And so we want to have the right work and the right actions and the right efforts along with the authentic, right kind of faith. We need both. And the reason that this is important is because sometimes when we talk about relationships, we're not honoring God. We are, you know, there are people in church who have one part of their life focused on God and a whole other area that's totally compromised out. I mean, we're coming to church and singing and sleeping with our boyfriend or girlfriend during the week and thanking God we have a church where they talk about grace. And then we say, Lord, bless my relationship. Ain't going to happen. Because you have a faith, but it's not a faith that has any action to it. It doesn't change your heart. It doesn't change who you want to honor or who you want to serve. You still want to serve yourself. You just want the blessing of God and the blessing of sex. Oh, you didn't know I was going to come home today, did you? I'm coming to your house. You see, there is the importance of practical and spiritual is significant. Because listen, you can do all the deeds. You can try to say the right things and do the right things and have the right values, but you need an authentic faith. Because listen, you can't love like Jesus loved even the most beautiful woman that's your wife without God's Spirit helping you to forgive and to accept and to embrace and honor. It takes genuine faith to do the work we're talking about. So don't just sit there and take notes and say, oh, that's a good idea. I mean, that's good. But then you got to say, God, help me to know how to do this. And so when I'm talking about marriage is important, relationship is important, don't you think that the enemy of God, your enemy, Satan, his demonic forces, wouldn't want to keep you from the greatest relationship you could ever have? Wouldn't want to cause hurt, confusion, deception, seduction, all those things to kind of interfere. Yeah, there's a spiritual battle, faith and works and action. So yeah, you got to serve. Yes, you got to honor. And you also have to pray. You have to pray for the ability, the capacity. You have to pray for your spouse that they will be receptive. You pray for your spouse that their faith will flourish. Sometimes in marriage, sometimes I'm feeling on top of the world and Holly is having a time where she's struggling about some things and then we switch roles, you know. Sometimes she's on top of the world and I'm just like, oh man, I'm discouraged about whatever I'm dealing. And we laugh, go, good thing we're both not down at the same time. Because one of us tends to stir the other one up. And so there is practical and spiritual. And James says, I'll show you the authenticity of my faith by action. Because faith alone with no change is dead. Yeah, if you say, I love you, God, and I have faith in God, but you're just uncomfortable worshiping. You're just uncomfortable singing praises to God. There's a faith, but there's a problem. It's dead. And that kind of faith is dead. It doesn't produce the works of, man, I love the presence of God. I love Him. The reason that this is important is because when we read in the E5 solution, Ephesians 5, about the ultimate way, this is, takes revelation of the Holy Spirit to see it. Because you could read this and go, submit to your husband or head, you know, lay your life down. I'm going to read something else. But it's more than words. It's a spiritual book. There's interpretation. There's clarity. There's a way that the Holy Spirit will reveal things to you and speak to you. And so when we talk about marriage in Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 31, look at this. It says, for this reason, a man will leave his father and mother and be united to his wife, and the two will become one flesh. That's what marriage is. A father and a mother having a child. The child, the man, marries the woman who is from another father and mother, and they become one. And then at verse 32, it says, this is a profound mystery. Like, how does this work? That's why you're here. It's a profound mystery. You're trying to figure it out. It says, but I'm talking about Christ and the church. The relationship we have with God is so interwoven to the marriage relationship. In a way, it makes sense that marriages would fall apart without God, because it is a Bible opportunity, a relationship that is from God's heart to us to enter into the covenant of marriage, where God's presence would come in there. The Bible says that God is present at the exchanging of those vows, like in no other gathering. Oh yeah, He hears. It matters. And so He said, this is a profound mystery. And He said, I'm talking about Christ and the church. There's so much involved with our relationship with God as it is with one another. And then Jesus says in Revelation chapter 3 and verse 20, here I am, here I am. I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and eat with him and he with me. Now, the reason that this verse is significant is that it's a message to believers, and it starts out by describing that they are lukewarm. They lost their fire for God. That they could worship, they could not. They could tithe, they could not. They could serve, I'm kind of tired, I'm not going to serve. We get lukewarm in our surrender to God. And he goes, you know, lukewarm faith, this is the Philip Wagner Message version, lukewarm faith makes me want to throw up. It says that kind of very close. But then he says, but here I am. I stand at the door of your marriage and I knock. I stand at the door of your relationship world. And if you feel like your marriage is lukewarm, that you keep trying to figure out, you're trying to love men, you can't figure out how to do that. You're trying to love women, you're trying to get over your past experiences. All you've seen is that your parents were divorced and angry, and your brother and your sister got divorced and married and angry, and here you are thinking about getting married, and you're starting to freak out because you're wondering if marriage works, if love works. And Jesus said, here I am. I stand at the door of your soul and of your marriage life. Let me in, because there's nothing like the presence of God in your home. He said, I will come in and eat with them and he with me. Many people have a lukewarm life and we get used to it. We think it's normal. You know, he says in the beginning of chapter 3, he said, I wish that you were either hot or cold. And when you think about that, I always wonder about that. Hot would mean that you're passionate and fired up for God. And why would he say, I wish you were cold? You'd think lukewarm is like closer to hot, so that's a good place to be. But lukewarm is deceptive. Lukewarm means you're going to just keep going like this till it dies. And then you're going to be asking for a miracle. We were going to church. But what happened? Well, you were going through the motions. You're playing church. You're not, you come, and when is the last time that you spent 15, 20 minutes in the Word of God? Oh, I don't know. I'm kind of busy. So cold, I guess, means you know it and everybody knows it. And you're like, oh, God, help me. I'm freezing. I'm in. Hey, I'll just tell you about this phenomenon when you get married. If you're not married, you get married and you get in an argument with your wife and then you go to bed. You can feel cold in the bed. Yeah, there's like a cold, what do they call that? The wind chill factor. Yeah. You can be facing the other side and you can just like, I know she is mad. So I wish you were hot or cold, because you know. Lukewarm is like, that's the one where the guy goes, everything was good, and then all of a sudden she left. Nothing happens all of a sudden. Something was going on. You just weren't paying attention. Lukewarm. There are common needs of men and women. Common needs of human beings. Four common needs that I want to mention to you. And here's what you need to know that's so crucial. The needs are acceptance, identity, security, and purpose. These are important needs to our soul. It's the way God made us. And every person wants to be accepted. Now, here's why I'm going to talk about them. Is that we set our relationship up. We set our marriage up for failure and troubles when we try to get our husband to be like God to us, like the savior of our soul, and so that we feel accepted in the world because of how your husband treats you. Or your wife makes you feel like you've got an identity or a security. And so then you're needing from them rather than giving to them. And we do this to friendships. We do this to leaders. We do this to family members. And these are things that we need to get from God. Now I understand it's nice to be accepted by people and by friends. And I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about that inner definition of acceptance where we're just needing to have that endorsement. That's why we make compromises. That's why we say we're Christians, but we'd rather be with that good-looking unbeliever on a Saturday night than be by ourselves. And so we all want someone to accept it. On my worst day, in my worst moment, I want to be loved with my weaknesses and failures. I don't want somebody to look at me and go, "Ew, I thought you were a Christian." I want to be accepted. All of us do. And you know who accepts us in our weaknesses and in our failures? God. Through Jesus Christ, we are accepted just like we are, just like we aren't. He accepts us. And we try to get other people. You know, what happens is that the reality is a lot of times people love us because of what they don't know about us. Yeah, I mean, they're only human. I heard this preacher say one time, he was talking about grace and he was making this point. And he was like, "If you knew everything about me, you wouldn't be sitting here listening to me." He goes, "But don't get self-righteous. If I knew everything about you, I wouldn't be talking to you either, you know." And so if we're so desperate for the acceptance of a person, it changes our judgment. It changes how we respond to them. And sometimes we need just to get that acceptance from God and so that we can deal with a relationship on a relationship level. Because sometimes we're furious at people. We blow up. We've got deep hurts. And it's because we invested so much in their acceptance rather than finding our acceptance from Him. And our identity, who we are. In our world today, there's a big push to get us to focus on our identity by our sexual desires, our sexual experiences. And there's a big pressure to identify yourself as, you know, by your sex life rather than letting the Word of God, your Creator, define you, and you manage emotions and sexual urges, temptations, desires, experiences. Sometimes we look to a person to endorse who we are, and our sense of identity is firmly rooted in them. And so then, if they struggle in their faith or they get angry at you, then your identity is at risk and we go in ballistic into some kind of argument or discussion, and our identity's been given to them rather than finding our identity in God. You know, Holly did a session here where she talked about the movie where Tom Cruise goes, "You complete me." And then she goes into this whole monologue about how she doesn't need me to complete her, which is a big shock to me, but I'm just trying to tell people around me that's not true. She needs me big time. But her point is so strong in that she has a sense of identity herself. She has a sense of acceptance from her Heavenly Father. She has a sense of security and purpose. And so that she loves being with me, she loves the covenant that we've made and being married, but if I passed away or something happened, she would be okay. She would do great things because there is something that God is doing in her. It's not, she doesn't live and die by my mood. And I think that this is what we're talking about, that we have a sense of strength. You see, here's what I've been trying to describe to men. Because we have this idea with masculinity in men that, you know, men bring strength. A healthy man brings strength to any organization. A marriage, a family, a church, a business, a friendship, a staff. A healthy man brings strength. But in our world, often we think how men who are desperate and insecure, how do they get strength? They get strength by beating someone down. Ha-ha, I destroyed you. Look how strong I am. Or we take from others, so we got more. Ha, look how much I got. I'm stronger than you. I got more award. And so we get our definition of strength by when someone else loses. But a genuine strength of a man is that when you come into the situation, you give strength and you leave strength when you move on. And so it's a very different version, but you can't give strength when you're secretly fearful about your identity and about your acceptance and about security in your life. Somebody says something to you, you blow, you're like, what are you talking about? You get defensive. Let's fight. You know, that's how young people, that's going to be a show of strength. All you're hiding is that you got no strength. You're trying to take something away from somebody rather than having a strength. You know, so people would tell Jesus what he should do. He's like, I don't do what people say. I do what the Father leads me to do. It's like that. In John, he said, oh, they're all excited. They're honoring you. Like, that's good news. And they wanted him to say, oh, cool. It's working. He said, well, I only get my honor from the Father. Like, oh, all right. So who are you? We have our identity in God and security. Security is so powerful because in the scripture we find people who are poor and they realize they need a God. They needed a heavenly Father, a provider. But we also see people who are rich and realize that that's just a condition, but it's not a strength. Zacchaeus, richest man in town. But when he saw Jesus, he's like, we got to talk. Jesus said, I'm coming to your house. He goes, oh, please, because I got the title. Everybody respects me. Most people fear me. They're jealous of me. I got tons of money. But something's missing. Of course it is. Because you don't get your security in money. That's why Paul said, I found out the secret. What's that? I know how to love God and be happy when I got nothing, and how to love God and be happy when I got a lot. I like a lot, that's good, but I know the secret. And so, the woman at the well, there's a story in John where Jesus comes to the well in the middle of the afternoon. The disciples go to get food, and this woman comes, and it's really odd because she's coming in the middle of the day because everybody comes in the morning and gets the water so they can take it home and have water for the day. Plus, it's a lot cooler. Because when you're in the Middle East, in the middle of the day in the summer, it's hot. And so there she is. Interesting. And so Jesus goes over and talks to her. Hey, give me some water. And so he's talking to a woman, which is against their culture, custom of the day. He's a Jew talking to a Samaritan against the culture of the day. And he's talking to her because he sees something in her. And so he's talking to her, and then he says, hey, why don't you get your husband? And he's like, well, because I don't have a husband. And he goes, yeah, I know. And now he's like, you've been married 5 times, and the person that you're living with now isn't your husband. You know what? He's not judging her. He's not making her trying to feel shame. But you know what? He touched that place of shame in her so she'd become aware of it. And that place of shame is, the reason I'm here in the afternoon is that because I don't want to hear people talking about me. Because when I come together in the morning, all the other people are around. They point to me. I hear their whispers. I see their looks. I've had 5 husbands. It's no secret. And I've looked to men over and over, and they disappoint. Is that, I don't know if her dad was a disappointment. But husband number 1, maybe she put her trust in him and he died. And now she had no security. Husband number two, maybe it was convenience, maybe it was desperation. Maybe he had affairs. Maybe he divorced her, so she went on to someone else. And she's got, you know, I looked for security and acceptance and identity and purpose, and I keep going to these men, and you never get what they promise or what you're expecting. And he, you know what Jesus goes, you know, I got some water that if you drank the water I had, you'd never thirst again. What you're looking for in a relationship, you're not going to get. That's why you look at people that you care about and you go, no, what are you doing? What in the world are you doing? Did you go deaf, dumb, and blind just on one date? Come on, a blind date is not supposed to destroy your discernment. You're supposed to come away with vision. Because why? They're trying to drink water from that well called relationships that people can't meet that need. So I just want to find a beautiful woman and everybody will see I'm significant because she's with me. That's what it means. She'll complete me. And so he's saying that to her, I think, to touch something in her heart. And that's my whole point of the night, is that relationships work when you have a genuine faith in God. Because then you get a sense of purpose. This is really what motivates us, our purpose, our calling. This is why we do what we do, even when we don't know why we did what we did. It had something to do with purpose. It had something to do with what we're trying to fulfill, the dream, the will, the plan of God, the vision for our life, that dream in our heart. That's why God's dream is so important for us. But our purpose is just not to be alone. Our purpose is not just to get married, but to be in a relationship that's life-giving. That you're in a partnership, a marriage where you can give to the community, that people say, oh, I want what you got. What is it in your marriage? What is it about you? What do you know that I don't know? What is it that you know now that you didn't know before? But because you're joined together, two are multiplied in their effectiveness and impact. And so we say, because we've been together, we've been able to give to these people, bless these people, help these widows and orphans, build the church so we can reach people for Jesus. We've been done this together. We've raised kids who are making a difference in the world. We got vision and purpose. And some of you have been in marriage and you've struggled and it's been hard. And I understand that because we've been through hard times. But somehow you've lost the dream. You've lost the vision. You got to talk to God. Say, Lord, remind me again what the vision is. What's our purpose? Purpose and vision is the reason you get back up when you get knocked down. I have such a bad memory. I don't know. I need a miracle. But one time Holly was telling me the thing. She goes, this is what I admire about you. She told me a couple things. And I felt so great. And then the next day, I go, can you remind me of what you told me about? That's sad right there. That's pathetic. But sometimes I think we need our Father to remind us. Remember? What I put in your heart, don't let life steal it. Don't let problems and sickness and setbacks get that purpose and vision again. Because you're together for a reason that's higher than you think. Matthew 11:28, Jesus said, come to me, all of you who are weary and carry heavy burdens, and I'll give you rest. That's what he's saying to you tonight. Are you fearful about marriage or relationship? Are you afraid that love doesn't work? Let me tell you, come to Jesus. Come to me, he says, all of you who are weary, stressed out about relationships and marriage. Maybe you're like that woman at the well. Oh, man, I've been in so many relationships, forget it. I've given up. I don't want to trust anybody. Come to me, those of you who are weary, Jesus said. Carry the burden. I'll give you rest because I will meet that need of your soul like no person can. And then you'll be healthier. You'll be more prepared for a relationship. Last verse, and then I'm going to pray with you. John 7:37, it says, on the last day, the climax of the festival, Jesus stood and shouted to the crowds. Now, what this means is that there was a festival going on 2 or 3 days. The people in Israel, all over Israel, coming to Jerusalem to celebrate. And it says early in this earlier scripture, Jesus was teaching in the temple, in the synagogue, talking to people. And here on the last day, everybody's there. Everybody's pumped up. They're excited. They've let go of things at home and problems, and they're wide open. They're celebrating. And it says, Jesus stood and shouted to the crowds, anyone who is thirsty may come to me. Anyone who believes in me may come and drink. For the scripture declares, rivers of living water will flow from his heart. And when he said living water, he was speaking of the Holy Spirit, who would be given to everyone believing in him. Jesus is standing here before you tonight. We've met people who all they know about the opposite sex is that they hurt them. Come into Oasis, not willing to trust, fearful, hard-hearted, and you could understand why. But Jesus steps in to their life and to their soul. That healing takes place. The Bible says that God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of love, because it works. Power and the soundness of mind. Strength in our mind, renewed mind. And God is saying, come to me. Tonight, the Holy Spirit is saying to you, are you thirsty? Because there's something that you can get from God that you could get from no one else. And there's something that you can get from the King of Kings, the Son of God, Jesus himself, that will pour out love in your heart by the Holy Spirit. That will bring healing, freedom, refreshing to you. And you can bring that relationship. You can bring that faith into your marriage. And see the blessing of God. Marriage requires that we give more than we've got to give. This is no greater love as anyone than they would lay down their life for their friends. They're talking about how Jesus loved us. So if you have Jesus in your life, you can demonstrate this kind of love to your husband, to your wife.
Thank you for listening to the Oasis Church podcast. To find out more about Oasis, including service times and directions, please visit our website at oasisla.org.